Love beyond our human comprehending. That's what we're about to see. Love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never-ending great redeeming love of Calvary. Turn with me back to John 17. I want to show you something in this. We mentioned it last Sunday morning that Martin Luther said, this is so deep. He said it's so deep. It is so rich. And it's so wide, no one can fathom it. I cannot fathom what I'm about to tell you. I have been so excited to tell you this. I can't fathom it. I cannot fathom it. This is whatever I have never fathomed. This surpasses that in a way that I cannot fathom to tell you. I cannot fathom what I cannot fathom. All right? So don't ask me any questions after this. No, I'm just kidding. I hope the Lord will make it clear. I really do. I hope the Lord will make this clear. All right, look at verse 11. John 17, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. As we are. Now, the great subject for a believer, this is the only thing we believers want to hear about. Union with Christ. That's it. That's all we want to hear about. Salvation is union with Christ. Union with His death. Right? I want to be right there with Him. When He died 2,000 years ago, I pray that even though I wasn't born yet, that's where I was. Union with His burial. Union with His resurrection. Union with His eternal life. It's the only reason we preach Christ and Him crucified. It's to hear about our union with Him in all points. Without Christ, we don't have anything, do we? Absolutely nothing. Our subject tonight is being one with Christ. And I can't explain it. I just cannot explain this. We know that if we're going to receive anything from God the Father, we must be a joint heir with Christ. Isn't that right? If we're going to inherit anything in glory, it's only through Christ. We must be a joint heir with Christ. The truth of the matter is, the amazing news, the gospel is good news. And it's so much better than good news. It's amazing news. The amazing news of the matter is, our union with Christ is so deep. It is so rich. It's so wide, no one can fathom it. No one can fathom it. I've been thinking about, we're about to see some things that pertain to marriage. I've been thinking about my own marriage. I consider us one in so many ways. But that does not come close. It does not come close. You cannot explain what you cannot fathom. You can't do it. You cannot explain what you cannot fathom. So thank God He has given us His Word. He's given us His Scripture. And I don't understand all of these Scriptures, but by God's grace, I believe them. And I declare them. All right, so we're going to look at some Scripture. Tonight is one of those nights where we are going to look at some Scripture. And we're going to hear from the Lord what He has to say on our union with Christ. Verse 11 right here in John 17. Now I'm no more in the world, But these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. One as we are. Every sinner that has been given to Christ, every single one that has been given to Christ, is one with Christ in the same way that he is with his Father. And I do mean one with Christ. Now, let me show you a few scriptures that are more glorious than we can fathom. They are more glorious than we can fathom. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I pray the Lord will let us enter into every word. Think about every word. Genesis 1, look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God made man. Male and female created he them. The relationship of a man and a woman coming together in marriage was ordained for one reason only. There's only one reason two people come together in marriage. It was to show the union of Jesus Christ and his bride. That's why God made marriage. It was to help us. It was to illustrate something to us. The union between Jesus Christ and the bride that the Father gave to him. Those who believe on his name. His church. Verse 26 says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Look back at verse 26. I meant to point this out to you. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them. Let us make man and let them. Male and female created he man. Why does it say that? The reason is glorious. It's absolutely glorious. Chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, it backs up a little bit. And it tells how God made man, male and female. Now listen to every word of this. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A body was prepared for man. All right? Man could say, a body hast thou prepared me. Right? Verse 21 says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And it does not say how long that was, but I would imagine it was for 3 days. It is a picture of Christ accomplishing what he was sent to accomplish. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Was he saying that figuratively? No. She really was. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Verse 24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." One flesh. Now don't let me lose you. Hold your place in Genesis and turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 says, "For we are members of His body." All right, well, the congregation. No. He goes on to say, "of His flesh and of His bones." Of His flesh and of His bones. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery." What he's saying is, I cannot fathom what I'm telling you. He says in verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." He said, "I just told you a lot of things about marriage, and every word of it was to illustrate this union between Christ and His bride, Christ and this church." He said, "of His bone, of His flesh." He said, "I'm speaking a mystery, an absolute mystery. We are members of His body." Now look back at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 22 says, "And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all," which is His body. All right? Still with me? I know we're turning a lot. Go back to Genesis. This time, chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, and look at verse 1. "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam." Not Adam and Eve. Adam. "In the day when they were created. The man and the woman were both named by God Adam." Is that not wonderful? Why? Why is that the case? Why is that so? It's because this book was written as a letter from our God to His bride to show spiritual things that we cannot fathom yet. There are spiritual things in place that we just cannot fathom yet. But every bit of this that He put in place was to show us something spiritually. Now, turn with me over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, look at verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is His name whereby He shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. You have a margin in your Bible? The Hebrew name is Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's His name. That's His name. The Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's the name God is going to call Him. All right, now go with me to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, verse 14 says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And if you have a margin, it says Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's her name. That's her. Y'all ever wondered, what's my name going to be in glory? That's her name. That's the name that God Almighty will call her. The same name. Why? Because she is bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. One with Him. Go with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 2 says, And the Pharisees came to Him, our Lord, and asked Him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And He answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart He wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Now the purpose of marriage is to show us our union with Christ. The reason He gave us marriage was to help us out. It was to illustrate our union with Christ, what we have with Christ. Right here, this is what he's saying. Not only are we one, but we're no longer two. We're no longer two. I can't fathom that. I consider us one, but we're definitely two. I cannot fathom. God said they're no more two. I mean, they're one. This is unfathomable. Unfathomable. In Christ, we are just as secure as He is because we are literally one flesh, one spirit. He said, I'm going to put my spirit in you. There's a spirit inside this body. You can start cutting off pieces. You can start cutting me off. There's still a spirit inside this body. This is my spirit. This is the body the Lord chose to put my spirit in. He paired this spirit with this body. But my spirit is me. You can cut off all the body parts that you can cut off, and I could still be alive, and I'm still me. Well, he said, I'm going to put my spirit in you, inside you. In Christ, we are just as loved by the Father as He is, because we are literally one flesh. God the Father cannot love Christ more than He loves us. And I say that reverently and wholly, but it's not possible because we are one. I mean, we're one. Throughout glory, among a number that no man can number, we cannot ever be separated from Christ. Have you ever wondered, have you ever thought about glory? I believe there's going to be a number there that no man can number. I believe that. Have you ever wondered, everybody there is going to be focused on Christ. Everybody there is going to want one thing. They're all going to want to talk to Christ, right? They're all going to want to spend time with Christ. How am I ever going to get any time with Him? Have you ever wondered that? I have. We all want to go sit at His feet. I want to physically sit at His feet. How am I ever going to get that seat? There are people who've been there for thousands of years. I bet you that Abel went straight to it. First man in. Well, here's the amazing news of the gospel. The gospel is union with Christ. Here's the amazing news of the gospel. I will not ever be without Him. I'll never be without Him. I cannot be separated from Him because we're all one. We're all one. Our Lord told us that by illustrating in His Word the members of our body, didn't He? He said the church is all members of the same body. There's one faith because there's one person. There's one. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. He looked straight at Him and said, Philip, have I been so long with you and yet you don't know me? Why would He say that? It's because they're one. All right, now, think about that, okay? Focus on our direct union with Christ while we read something else from Ephesians 5. Turn with me back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You think if God is giving this to us, you think this would not apply to Christ? This is all about Christ. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, his own flesh, even as the Lord, the church, his own flesh. I cannot mentally compute this. I just can't do it. All I can do is declare it. That's all I can do. Colossians 3, you can just listen to this. Colossians 3, verse 9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, free, Christ is all and in all. He is all, he's in all. We're one. In Christ, we're one. Now go with me back to John 17. And look at verse 20. John 17, verse 20. Our Lord said, neither pray I for these alone, the disciples who were right there with him, listening to him. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Does that at all register with us? This whole thing began by the Lord saying, Father, glorify thy Son, didn't it? The glory that thou gavest me, the glory, Christ's glory, he said, I've given them. I've given it to them. Verse 22, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Exact same way. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. These have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. We're one. We're absolutely one. So what does that mean for us, for the rest of eternity? What does that mean to be absolutely one with Christ? If the Lord did not write this in His Word, I would never declare it. Never declare it. I'm going to close with two scriptures. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It does not say with Christ Jesus. It says in Christ Jesus. Where is He seated? Our God is seated in the heavens. Where is He sitting? Is that not holy? He's sitting on His throne. And we are seated in heavenly places in Him. Go to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 3 says, "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done." Paul told Timothy, if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, if we suffered with Him, if we suffered in Him when He died on that cross, if we were in Him, Paul told Timothy, we shall also reign with Him. Unfathomable. Is that not unbelievable? What do we say to these things? Thank you. What else can you say? To be a sinner at the bottom of a pit and be raised up to be seated in the heavens with Him? What do we say to these things? Lord, conform us to Your image. Draw us nearer to You. And make us complete in You. One with You. Make us one with You. That's all I want to be. One with You. All right, let's stand together.